hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. So, let me rewind briefly to Evan's appearance, not about isotoner gloves or the Badgers. Tausch, how do you view Rodgers versus the Packers? How do you view it, having lived through Favre versus the Packers?
Yeah, I think it's more important for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Packers have, I guess if you want to say, won this battle. You know, Aaron, his time in New York was not good. That's probably the nicest way to put it. It didn't work. His time with Pittsburgh seems to be going a little bit better. And, you know, I think Aaron and how that whole thing played out, this is Aaron's, more than likely, his last rodeo. And I think this would be a big feather in his cap. And I think it would be incredibly meaningful to him. And I don't know if he'll say that. I don't know. The spin will be a lot this week. We already heard Matt LaFleur a little bit with it. I don't think it's nowhere near the amount of vitriol and the angst that we felt. But it is not a normal regular season game either.
No.
It's somewhere in between. And I do think it means a lot to Aaron Rodgers to go out and play really well. And hopefully for him, in his mind, I think he really wants to find a way to win just to let all the guys that thought he was done and thought it was time to move it along, I think he'd like to be able to say, here's this one more time. That's how I look at it.
I would agree. I would say that, and I don't think it comes from a place of I want to show him, like, in a negative way, which I do think fueled Rodgers in 09, for sure.
Favre.
Against Favre, right. No, I'm saying, obviously Favre. I'm saying Rodgers wanting to show Favre, hey, I can live up to this, right? I do think that was part of how he was feeling during those two games.
But it was much more so. Yeah, it was much more so on the far front.
Right. No. I totally agree. And what I'm saying is that I think now it'll be much more so on the Rodgers side of I want to show these guys I can still play, right? And maybe I made LaFleur what he was or whatever it might be, but I do think Jordan wants to play well against Rodgers. Like I do think that's important to him. And not just because he wants to give his team the best chance to win. I think he genuinely wants to play well. But their relationship is so different than where Rodgers and Favre's relationship was in 09 that it just doesn't have the same juice. And how could it, right? Like, my question would be, what other matchups throughout the history of sports have been that charged of a player facing his former team, of Favre.
Brady.
Did he play the Patriots in 2020?
Mm-hmm. Up in Foxborough, and it was incredibly charged. Heavily charged.
How did Evan Cohen navigate that situation? Who did he root for?
No, he wasn't doing a show on ESPN Radio at the time. Yeah, don't know.
Okay, I'm eager to see how it plays out. Yesterday, though, we had Matt LaFleur at the podium, and there's a young guy from WFRV up here. His name's Carson, and he's the first one to ask a Rodgers related question, and it was, in my opinion, very innocuous the way he asked it, but he did say, you're playing Aaron Rodgers. And Matt LaFleur pounced. Here's how this went yesterday.
Playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. Granted, I mean, we've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, and I know, like, our past together, we had a lot of great moments, but this game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday night football. Our guys will be jacked up. Their guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's for you guys to talk about all those other storylines.
So if it's for us to talk about, you still have to, do you still address it with your guys with the message you just gave us, or how do you, because you can't just pretend that it's not happening, right? You don't not mention them at all, do you?
I think a lot of these, I don't even know if many of these guys played with him. So, I mean, there's a few guys, but yeah, I think that's just, yeah, it's for you guys. I'm going to talk about how we, just like we do every week, what is our blueprint and what are our keys in order to go to Pittsburgh, which is a damn good football team and a really tough, hostile environment, and try to play our best. Because we haven't put our best yet to date. So we've got a lot of work to do.
All right, so I have never been in the locker room when the coach addresses the team. Is he, you talk about messaging all the time, right? You've taught us that if you hear a lot of guys saying the same stuff that the coach said earlier in the week in the team meeting, that means your messaging has been effective. 1-0 every week, which has become... I'll tell you this. I heard that during the Brett Bielema era in Madison. There's lots of coaches that have used it. I had not heard Packers players ever use that until after the Rashid Walker, we could go undefeated, and they got beat. And now I hear 1-0 every week, all the blank in time. Clearly, Matt LaFleur wanted that to be his messaging. My question for you, Mark Tauscher, is, do you really go into a week where you're playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers who happen to have Aaron Rodgers and you don't mention Aaron Rodgers to the team in your messaging at all? Is that really how this will play out?
No, but I do think it won't be highlighted. It's not going to be like the Minnesota-Green Bay rivalry. That will not be in play. I do think it's interesting for everybody that got after Shido for his statement. Seems like it worked. He was able to get everybody to refocus with this new messaging of being 1-0 every week after Shido said we're going to go 17-0 and go win a world championship. So I think we gave him grief at the time. Now we should maybe flip it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Favre component to it, it's more about how to handle the messaging with y'all than about the – because the offensive guys aren't going to give a rip.
Right.
Rashid Walker doesn't care what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Now, Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary, they're going to care. All right, what is he like doing? How do we use any information you have on him, checks, and all of the institutional knowledge that maybe Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love have? That will all be in play. But as far as all of the other stuff goes, I do think it's all about making sure your team is focused on the whole, not on just Aaron Rodgers. But I would think some players will have some fun with the Aaron Rodgers component to this, and I'm guessing Micah Parsons will be at the top of that list. And that will be the extent of it. It's not going to be I don't think Matt LaFleur is lying with what he was saying there. Mm-hmm. I think he's understating it a little mm-hmm. bit. But I don't think he's lying at all. I think it will be a story. It is going to be, Jesse, when you do the Green and Gold Preview Friday, that is the storyline. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, we can skip that one.
Put
What's
that
the
in
second
there,
biggest storyline?
Accept it, because that will be the big storyline. But in the grand scheme of things, there's going to be a lot more, and it is going to be more team-based as far as how this thing shakes out.
All right, I want to get to the Packers kicking situation. I want to get to how the Packers are viewing themselves, and Matt LaFleur talking about coaching guys.
I also want to bring up Rashawn Gary, because someone on Twitter, and I don't remember who, so I'm sorry I'm not citing you. We mentioned yesterday that Rashawn Gary made a big play, right?
I'm pretty sure we did, yes. I think we were talking about how they...
Maybe. What were you
awkward
saying?
Awkward silence.
No, you jumped in, so I wanted you to finish. I wouldn't know if you had something here.
Yeah, we discussed how they have the lights and sirens in the meeting room, and they finally got their third takeaway of the season on a Strack, I believe.
By Rashawn Gary,
yes.
Yeah, so I think there's there was a little trade whispers last week, and oh, where is he? And I do think Rashawn hadn't. There's a couple of games that I thought he should have been more impactful, but I think this group is starting to figure out their roles, and that's why I can't wait to see. Hopefully, Devontae Wyatt can get back. So there is the beautiful part about this, and why I haven't been as negative as a lot of people about this group. They are the number one seed, and they found ways to win when not playing their best. Now, do we think that they will end up playing their best? Last year, they didn't. Every year, this Green Bay Packers team, it feels like really since, I'm not going to go all the way back to Holmgren, but definitely in Mike Sherman's age, other than the 4-12 season, we always were playing our best November and December.
Yeah,
sometimes it was
right.
Great, sometimes it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think Mike McCarthy, until the year he got fired, always played their best late. Last year was the first real big exemption that I saw in the Matt LaFleur era, and I wonder what he's going to and how he's going to address that, because you're seeing some of the same remnants. Penalties, not creating turnovers, special team blunders. That is still that thing last year when he kept saying sloppy after week 16 and week 17.
Just going to bring that
was
up.
Such. If I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear Matt LaFleur saying after Thanksgiving, if somebody beats us, great. But if we're beating ourselves with sloppiness, I'm concerned. And I hope I don't have to be concerned.
Are you concerned about how you're going to play your prize picks with Aaron Rodgers playing his former team?
No, I'm actually very excited about that. We will take a long, hard look at that. But now is the best time of the year. Jesse just mentioned NBA season. Tipping off. NHL. Drop the puck. World Series action. Oh, it sounds sweet. Everything going on right now at Prize Picks is here for you to cash in while watching your favorite sports and teams. Which players are going off? Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a big game? Is Jordan Love going to be able to escape TJ Watt? You have all these great questions. You get to pick how it plays out, and hopefully you got to make sure that you're right. That is the fun part of Prize Picks. A great way to put it to the test. They also offer injury reboots. So, like last night, Mike Evans gets hurt, but reboot, no big deal. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account during the football season. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Use the code WI. You get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right. We'll see what the Packers view as being right about their kicking situation. Asked Matt LaFleur some questions about that yesterday. Curious what Tausch thinks of this line of questioning. We'll find out next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Hold on, I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone. I don't want to move on. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone for good. You're slipping through my fingertips a little bit.
So the Packers currently have two kickers. That might seem like a good problem to have. That is one of my pet peeve phrases. It's a good problem to have. Because you're acknowledging in the words that it's still a problem. We know what's better? To not have a problem at all. But Matt LaFleur doesn't see it as a problem right now. So here is how he and I went back and forth yesterday. Tausch, you and I are on the same page. Keep Lukas Havrasek because he is an asset at the moment.
Yes.
We also, I believe, are on the same page saying we're not going to dump Brandon McManus when he's fully healthy in favor of Lukas Havrasek, right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. But we also pointed out yesterday when we were spending more time on the kicking situation than on Rashawn Gary, which, by the way, if they did trade Rashawn Gary, it would open up more opportunities for Kingsley Anagbare, who I know we're both impressed by. But we also pointed out that the current kicker, I guess he's not current, he's the one that's injured, Brandon McManus is 34. He's going to be 35 next July. So he's not a young man. Lucas Haversick is 26.
Kind of expensive for a kicker, yeah.
Yeah. So these are all things that are kind of part of the equation. But nevertheless, Matt LaFleur sees this as very cut and dried. Here's why. Here's my Q&A with Matt LaFleur about the kicking situation.
Coaches always talk about having a good problem to have. Is that what you have, a kicker right now? How do you view your situation with two guys that can put it through the uprights really consistently?
I'd classify it just as that, a good problem.
Well, it means it's still a problem, though. So,
if you look at it that way, it's really not a problem right now because we've got one healthy kicker and the other guy's, you know, fighting his way back.
So are you inclined to, if it was more inconsistent without Brandon, would you be more inclined to let him push to play? Or how does that affect your decision-making, the fact that Lucas has been as good as he's been?
Yeah, it's a great luxury, I would tell you. But certainly we've got to feel confident, and Brandon's got to feel confident that he can go out there and perform to the level that is what he's used to performing at. And, you know, it's always tough when you're dealing with an injury of a body part that you have to use in order to go out there and have success.
So, Tausch, I think you said this yesterday, and maybe I'm misremembering and someone else said this. I can't remember. But I think it was you who drew a very loose comparison to the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy. Am I remembering that wrong?
Continue. Maybe you have to.
Well, that basically, hey, J.J., take your time. You know, take your time with that ankle injury. Not that he's unproven like J.J. McCarthy is, but basically, hey, no need to rush back, right? We're doing okay with the guy that's filling in for you. And that was what the crux of my question was if Lucas Haversick was Braden Narveson right now, do you think that they'd be saying, all right, if you think you could kick through this quadriceps injury, we're going to need you to do that because we just lost to the Arizona Cardinals because our kicker missed an extra point and a makeable field goal, right? So that, correct, to me, is why they are where they are, because Lucas Haversick's been really good, made a 61-yarder. Now, this program needs to be careful because we do have a premature crowning history here, including of this Packers defense. I was guilty of that. 85 Bears. Jeff Hafley, if Packers fans want Jeff Hafley as the defensive coordinator moving forward for another year, they're doing a good job of it. They're putting themselves in position for him to be good enough to be the defensive coordinator but not good enough to be a head coach somewhere else. Bottom line, though, is that if Lucas Haversick keeps kicking and making all of his kicks, then you don't need to rush Brandon McManus back. And that is, I suppose, a good problem to have. How do you view it?
Yeah. I also noticed LaFleur kind of urinated in your Cheerios about you being Johnny Positive. Did you notice that, too?
I did not notice that, no.
You're saying it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem, and you sound like Morgan Wallen over there. And LaFleur basically said, well, that's if you want to look at it from that lens.
I think of it more
which
as...
Which means...
Taylor Swift. It's hi, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. But
no, or some, I think his tour was something about you're the problem when it comes to positivity and it was negatively toned.
I believe it was branded I'm the Problem Tour, if I remember correctly.
Didn't you go to that show?
But nonetheless, Jason, who claimed to be Mr. Positivity yesterday, very clearly setting up the good problem to have is still a problem. Not very positive at all.
I did.
So the point is still
there.
That's
what I was saying. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Jesse. Yeah. That was my
Team Tausch on this one. Yeah.
All right. That's a win.
And also on isotoner gloves.
The bottom line on it is, yes, if Haverchek was not kicking well, they would be... What?
Nothing. I love how he's morphed into John Havlicek and Lucas Havrisik. He has now become
Havrisik. I want to be respectful.
Lucas Havrisik.
Because he's Havrisik. He has done a great job. And I love that story. He's substitute teaching, and then he's making kicks. He's hitting the longest field goal in the history of the organization. There's a lot of great things. If he was struggling, yes, they'd be saying, "Hey, BMAC, let's go get your butt back out here."
Right
now, they have that luxury, and the question will be when BMAC gets back, what are you doing with old boy? I mean, that's really what the question is going to be. And that's when it's going to be interesting because
sounds like
plenty
a problem.
Of teams need kicking. No, it's not a problem. It will be a how do we want to approach this? The only way it would be bad is if you end up getting rid of him for nothing and he becomes a star kicker for Detroit or Chicago or Philly or somebody that can come back and beat. That would be.
And Brandon McManus struggles?
I don't believe. Right now, if you had to say, Havrisik is on this football team for the whole season, yes or no?
No.
I think he is.
For the remainder of the year?
Yep. Either as a practice squad member or a...
you can't get him to the practice squad without cutting him, though. So if you cut him, somebody's going to claim him at this point, right?
Maybe. You don't know that.
Yeah, I don't. You're right. I definitely don't know that.
I think Goody has been really smart about who he knows has a big value and who will get snapped up. And I believe the fact that they only got 51 guys, they got two slots that they're playing with.
Because they added Jacob Monk.
Well, how many
back.
They got?
I will fact check that. They may be at 53 now.
Mm-hmm. That's still 53 with both. I think he is too valuable unless he struggles immensely in Pittsburgh. I don't know how you could get rid of him. Because you know what happens with older players when they have muscle pulls?
They continue to be an issue.
It does not usually just snap your fingers and go away.
Nope, you're right.
And if you have a championship team and you have a guy that you feel like is very dependable at a very important place, you don't get rid of those people. So, yes, I think he's going to be on the roster the rest of the season.
All right. We're way behind here. And I do want to get to a couple other things that we talked about with Matt LaFleur, and we want to get to Jesse's favorite thing about Tuesday's power rankings. I watched some of those Jones Dairy Farm videos. You were not overselling them. They're great. You guys did a great job on them. And they do a great job at Jones Dairy Farm.
Well, we had a great dish last night. I don't know if you guys have tried their pork.
Braunschweiger?
All natural. No, the pork. It's pork sausage. They have chicken and turkey, but we had a dish last night that I told Sarah was her best she's ever made. And, of course, it was the pork sausage.
But she's not being banned from the kitchen.
Well, she's passed. She's passed. This was more stovetop than it was in the oven. But our kids said the same thing. It was phenomenal. It goes in, and it was some type of an orchetta with some spinach. It was, but it's the all-natural pork sausage. It's got a little bit of kick, and it was just a little crispy on the fry of it. It was beautiful. And, of course, Jones Dairy Farm, they have it all-natural sausage, pork, chicken, turkey, the whole deal, all with the original family recipe. None of those fillers, nitrates, MSG, none of that stuff, all-natural. You go ahead, find your Jones Dairy product at jonesdairyfarm.com. We've got another big video shoot coming up we're excited about. We got a special guest star, non-family this time, that will be out there. I can't
Farmer
tell much
Jones?
More. Maybe. We'll see. And then, of course, we have Max coming
Farmer
up later in the
Jones
shooting season.
Me.
So
Jace Rindall, UW-Whitewater head football coach.
How are they doing?
Big win last week.
Everyone
I know
in
you've
the
been
conference,
an avid fan, Jason. So,
like, all the teams in the conference are tied except for two for first place. Like, everybody's like 4-1 or 5-1. I saw the other day.
Eau Claire's having a tough go of it, right?
Yeah, I think Eau Claire and Stevens Point might be the two that are the odd ones out. But then there's like this circle, this loop of WIAC football where Whitewater beat whoever, the way beat Platteville, Platteville beat Oshkosh, however it worked out. Everybody's beaten each other once. It's crazy.
Eau Claire and Stevens Point are winless. The other six teams are all 2-1 in the conference.
Yeah. Competitive.
So there you have it. More Wilde and Tausch talking WEAC football next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Yesterday with Matt LaFleur, and I learned this from Mark Tauscher many years ago, and apparently Matt LaFleur learned it from Mike Shanahan, because for a team that won the game, speaking of people that are positive or negative, Matt LaFleur has sounded particularly negative both after the game and again yesterday about the way his team is playing, despite being, as Tausch and Evan Cohen and apparently Dan Graziano pointed out, right now, if the season ended today, they'd be the number one seed in the NFC.
Let's go.
Here's Matt LaFleur talking about coaching guys hard after wins.
Now, why is it, I don't want to say easier, but better for coaches to be able to coach hard after a win? Because you've said that before. Like, if you guys lose that game, you still want to get the same things corrected. But it's a what kind of approach are you able to take? Because you still found a way to win, even though you're not perfect.
Yeah, I mean, because people are a little bit, I mean, winning can mask a lot of things if you allow it to. But inevitably, if these things are going to show up down the road. So you got to make sure whether it's a win or a loss, you still got to correct. There's a lot of things to be corrected. But I think that, yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think just working for Mike Shanahan, that was always when you could be toughest on your team was after a win. And that's because guys are probably happy and you know, not as down. There's a lot of time, energy, and effort that goes into this thing. And it's natural when you care about something so much and you put everything into it, and you don't get the outcome that you want, there's some disappointment there. So not that you turn a blind eye to correcting things, you certainly address. But I do think you can be a little bit more hard when addressing those issues after a win.
So Tausch, when you look at where this team is, how hard does he need to be on them to get them to where they need to be?
I think he needs to push here a little bit, because the things that have gone wrong, it's, you know, penalties. You're still not executing consistently enough, and you know, you don't want to like beat people into the dirt, but you want to continue to emphasize the little things that you know will make a big difference, and whether that's route depth or ball placement or continuing to go for turnovers with what was that whole deal that they did during training camp?
The ball king.
You put all that emphasis during camp. You want to start seeing some of the results. And right now, those are the things that I think you really want to focus on, because I think Matt LaFleur realizes they're very fortunate to be where they're at, which is the number one seed, because they have not been played consistently strong football for a game yet, really since Detroit. So that is the best place to be as a coach, is that you can you're not having to build guys back up and kind of be a little Wilde-ish, where it's like Pat Keister and, oh, little Johnny here,
very positive,
grab an orange slice, things are going to be okay. It's more, all right, this is good. We're trending, but if we want to get where we need to go, we need to refocus and get this stuff corrected, and we need to do it yesterday. And I think that's where coaches love living, because coaches are paranoid. If things are going too good, they are looking over their shoulders saying, what's coming down the hill? Because every coach knows something, it's never going to be easy.
Right.
Nothing is ever going to be easy. And when you're sitting here and you feel like you haven't played your best and you're 4-1-1 at the top of the conference, you're kind of almost looking like, it might almost feel a little impostery.
Yeah.
At this point.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And that's not bad. Joe Thomas made his whole career on an imposter deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad spot to be, but you want to get confidence. You want guys to have a ton of confidence every week that if we do what we do, we're going to win football games. And I think that team has that already. Now it's just cleaning stuff up. You can't win a ton of games with 16 penalties. You're just not going to beat good teams consistently. And I think Arizona's a better team than we all give them credit for, too.
Yeah, he said that yesterday.
Well, I would agree with him.
Yeah.
I would.
All right.
Yep.
It's 10:58. We got another segment to go, man.
I'm actually saying, yep, like to let's get this thing moving.
I never know. It's hard to read your imitation of my meeps.
If I go meep, that's a little different than
meep or nerp or meep.
A subtle meep is an acknowledgement. All right, I think we're done here.
We're going to get to Power Rankings Tuesday next. But if it's talking about banks and their customer service, well, Associated Bank's ranked at the top of those power rankings. They've got the awards to prove it. Plus, they've got Packers, Badgers, and Brewers checking. They've got early pay. They've got credit monitoring. They've got fraud protection. They've got everything you want. So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Associated Bank. Go to AssociatedBank.com to do so. Power Rankings Tuesdays next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at GrasslandButter.com.
Confession time. I read this week's power rankings, so I know where the Packers are.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Come on. Why do you do that?
Because I like to read.
It's fun to unveil them with you guys.
I'm a reader. I'm a voracious reader, and I'm very positive. Time now for our ESPN NFL power rankings.
Tausch, since the game is only for you, how would you like to go about guessing or commenting on the power rankings?
Why don't you just tell me where they are?
I'll just guess the top five.
All right, let's hear it. Give me your top five, and then I will unveil how close you are to ESPN's top five.
You want mine or what I think they're going to be? Because they're going to have Indy as number one.
They are not.
I don't.
They are not going to have Indy at number one.
Oh, they don't. They have Kansas City at number one.
Still wrong.
You're guessing again. Just tell us who your top five is, and then we'll compare. That seems to work
all
better.
All right, I have Kansas City at number one. I have Indianapolis at number two. I will have Green Bay at three. I will have Detroit at four. And at five, I'll put Philadelphia. That's my top five.
All right, so the good news is you have three of the top five teams correctly guessed, and you have one of them in the exact position.
That's the good news?
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
The number...
He got 60% of it right only. That's like a D.
The number one team, well, if you're, there's 1 point for getting the team and then 1 point for getting it in the right spot. So I'd give them a C on it. C's get degrees. Number one, the Detroit Lions in this week's ESPN NFL Nation Power Rankings. despite not being first in their conference or in their own division, the Lions check in at number one.
Hey, didn't they lose to somebody early in the year, too?
They did. Number two, the Indianapolis Colts. That's the one you got spot on. They are number two. Number three, where you had the Green Bay Packers in your rankings, is where the Philadelphia Eagles land in ESPN's rankings. Okay. So that's your top three. Lions,
I won't argue with that.
Lions, Colts, Eagles.
Oh, my.
Number four, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nah.
Falling to 5-2 with a loss to the Lions on Monday Night Football last night.
They were number one last week.
They were. And your number five team, fresh off a big victory across the pond, the Los Angeles Rams, in at number five.
For sure.
Devontae, still got it.
Yeah, he seems pretty good.
Number six, because I know you're wondering, the Buffalo Bills. Number seven, your number one, the Kansas City Chiefs. In at seven off a 31-0 shutout win over the Raiders.
They had been number nine the previous week.
And that means down two spots from number
after a
six
win
to number eight, the Green Bay Packers. Eighth in the ESPN NFL Nation Power Rankings this week.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's all short-sighted. I get it. The Chiefs have the championship pedigree. I probably went Philly at five because they can't run the football, man. Like, that team is built on running the football, and they can't. Like, they can't at all. So I don't trust them, even though I'm a nut whack guy. I don't trust their running the football. I'll be curious in a couple weeks for that Green Bay-Philly matchup. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But Green Bay is the number one seed in the conference, man. I think that matters.
So apparently not.
We are a results business. This isn't just who looks pretty and all the vanity and all this other cute stuff. I get that the eye test is in play, but at some point you got to look at the standings, people, because the standings usually, one and two seeds typically end up going to the Super Bowl. Now, I know the Packers had one seeds twice and didn't, and I've heard plenty about it, and that's fair, but it usually matters. And through 7 weeks or seven games, six games, I guess, for the G&G, they're the best. They have the best winning percentage, which is what this goes off of, and a win against this group's number one. The math ain't mathin', as we like to put it. The math ain't mathin'.
In fairness, there are six other NFC teams that have more wins than the Green Bay Packers. But the Packers are the number one seed if the season
were
to
end
today.
Have I not taught you guys? This is so irritating.
It's the lost column.
Thank you.
I would like an official apology from you two then, because you, especially you, Old T, you came on here after that Cowboys game and said that tie was a loss for the Packers. Very clearly,
yeah, emotionally,
that was not a loss because they're in first place in the conference because of it.
Emotionally, it was a loss. We're a better team, and our defense filled its britches. So they felt like it was a loss. But no, a tie's a tie. That's why LaFleur played for the tie instead of the
win.
It's
like kissing your cousin.
Instead of the loss. That tie was a loss at that point. But when the standings come out, the reason you kick the field goal and don't throw a Hail Mary is because you know it matters. It mattered back when Matt Flynn led the squad back against the Vikings.
It's true.
You don't want a tie. And when you're a really good team that you think you should beat and you tie, you feel like you lost. We all felt like it was a loss. But 2 weeks later, that tie, as Jesse just eloquently put, puts our loss column, which is what matters, because other teams play more games. And you guys, I don't know why you guys have such a hard time
understanding
that.
Let me interrupt so you can tell us about Kohler Services in a second. But Ron in the key is yelling at you in the YouTube comments. In all caps, you do not believe Green Bay is better than Detroit right now or the Chiefs. You believe today.
I don't believe they're better than the Chiefs. I didn't rank them higher.
I'm just reading what he wrote. So you do.
Well, I don't want Ron suing me. I didn't say that.
You believe right now at 11:11 on Tuesday, October 21st, year of our Lord 2025, that the Green Bay Packers are better than the Detroit Lions at this exact moment?
Yes. Absolutely, yes. Yes. We're more talented. We have more talent.
Not sure I agree.
Our quarterback's better. I watched Goff throw spin it away twice last night. Jared Goff is a really – how great was Jared Goff when he played our defense? Was he Charlie Checkdown or was he Jared Goff?
He was not very good in the opener. I would say the teams evolve, though, over the course of the season, and they do appear to have evolved in a positive manner, largely.
Sure.
Whereas the Packers'
defense shut down.
Seems to have devolved a bit. The Packers' defense seems to have devolved a bit from what they were that opener.
As I sit here today, I think it is a coin toss. I think they're both, as I said, after we crushed them, don't count out Detroit because we just beat them. But that game mattered, and we're ahead of them. Now, when that switches, if it does, I will adjust. But do I think Green Bay can beat Detroit? Absolutely I can, because I saw it.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you if they're better today,
yes,
at this moment.
Well, okay. Sometime, at some point, we have to go with what actually happens. This isn't college football where you take a 13-0 Florida State team and say, no, their quarterback's out, we can't play. Results matter. And if they don't, let's not play games. Let's just all sit here on Tuesdays and say, well, I think they could beat these guys. Well, I think this. Well, no. Results are what they are. We kicked Detroit's keister, and our record's better than theirs is. So do I think they can win and they're better? The results say they are.
Make
You struggled against Cleveland. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? It happens weekly. This stuff does happen. And Detroit is still a really good team that could beat Green Bay. And yes, I don't poo-poo Detroit at all. But you're acting like I'm saying I'm splitting the atom tomorrow. They've beaten them, and they could beat them again. Yes.
Make your bathroom and shower. Make your shower and bathtub better.
Freaking Ron.
Because the results matter.
He gets me all riled up with Ron. Now he's going to say to hit 12. Not versus the 13. You're going to tell me that aces shouldn't go against kings, queens.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, I hit a 12 against a 13 and lost bad yesterday. So whoever gave us that advice, terrible.
But you didn't get any noodles.
It's not the results. Don't play the results. Okay. Enjoy the process. And you want great results?
I do.
Kohler Services has you covered. Refreshing offer right now with a great result of a bath or shower remodel from our friends at Kohler Services. And this month only, you get zero interest financing for 12 months, plus a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. My old buddy Chris from Ooseburg, one of their many skilled installers, they'll come and demo your bath or shower, remove it, dispose of it before installing your brand new dream shower. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. You get fast professional installation. That is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. We'll begin in 2 minutes, believe it or not. So please stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.